Hello and welcome to the first PodRights for 2012. This is a series of podcasts from the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm Graham Innes, the Disability Discrimination Commissioner. Last year, the government established a special expert panel to consider changing our constitution to recognise the first Australians. And in January this year, the panel, after lengthy consultations with lots of people, brought down its findings. To discuss those findings with me on PodRights this week is my colleague, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner Mick Gooder. Mick is a descendant of the Gangulu people of central Queensland with 25 years experience as a senior executive. And before starting at the Commission, Mick was the CEO of the Cooperative Research Centre of Aboriginal Health. And you've been a Commissioner now for a few years, Mick. So welcome again to PodRights, and thanks for kicking us off for 2012.
Lovely to be here, Graham.
Yeah. So Mick, firstly, could you give us the background to the panel, how it was constituted and how it carried out its work? Because I know you've been involved, that took up a lot of your time and many others' time, I guess, during 2011.
Well, both parties at their last election, the major parties, agreed that there would be a referendum to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the Constitution. So in the event when, with the hung parliament we had, the Greens entered into the agreement to support government, one of the conditions was they'd hold this referendum in the life of this parliament.
Right.
So, but the government in its election platform said that they would appoint an expert panel to advise it on the form of recognition, the form that recognition would take. So it was a panel of 20 people that were picked from all spectrums of society, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, people from remote areas, people from cities, engineers, former parliamentarians. There were indeed four current parliamentarians on it, representing the Greens, Labor, the Coalition and the Independents. Mm-hmm. So it was a wide selection of people that were put together to provide this advice to government.
Mm. And there was very broad consultation, wasn't there, before the panel came out with its findings. How was this important to the ongoing progress of the issue, do you think?
Oh, our job is to report back to government on what the feeling, the view of Australians was about the form of recognition.
Mm.
So it meant that we did have to consult widely. We had over 200 meetings in about 90 sites across Australia. Like you said in the introduction, we were all extremely busy last year carrying out these consultations.
Mm.
We would generally meet with the Indigenous leadership in a particular place and then have a more general meeting. So one place we could have, Adelaide for instance, we had about three meetings there.
Mm-hmm.
We received about over 3,500 submissions.
Wow.
Which is a really, really big sample.
It is.
Given the sort of issue we were talking about.
Mm.
And so it was an extensive consultation process, and we realised that we couldn't get to everyone, but we made a fair attempt at getting to as many people as we could.
And do you think, as well as being really important in the sense of consultation, that those meetings have given the issue a bit more momentum in the broader community?
Oh, absolutely. We raise the issue, the issues we raise around the Constitution more generally, apart from recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. A lot of people were dumbfounded when we told them that, for instance, the Constitution as it stands anticipates or enables laws to be made on the basis of race.
Mm. Yes, pretty amazing, really. The panel has recognised in its report, and we'll come to the substance of the report in a minute, but it's recognised in its report that achieving a successful referendum outcome should be the primary consideration of the government and the parliament. Why did the panel come to that conclusion? What's the importance of that conclusion, Mick?
Oh, look, the history of referenda in this country is pretty bleak. We've only had 8 out of 44 get up. And one of the main reasons why they don't get up is because of the lack of bipartisan support across the major political parties.
Yep.
It is one of the most absolute vital components that we need in this referendum, or any referendum, even to the point where the panel makes the point about if we can't achieve bipartisan support, we shouldn't even go ahead with the referendum. So that's why we think it's important. Just to follow on from that, there's a couple of other important parts of that besides the bipartisanship. One is community education. People have got to actually know what they're voting for.
Yes.
And there's almost a sense of community ownership. It can't be something that's seen to be foisted upon the community by the politicians. And while government has been criticised in some quarters for not saying much about that, I think in the longer run it has to be run by the community. The Australian people have to own this change that's being proposed.
Well, look, let's get to the substance of the changes. The first change that and I should say that the panel has recommended that these all be in the one bill and that there be one referendum question for ease of I suppose process and so that people don't get confused with a whole lot of questions, and that seems to me a very sensible approach. But the panel has recommended that Section 25 of the Constitution be repealed. Why did it recommend that, Mick?
Well, Section 25 basically says that if a state governments disqualify people from voting on the basis of race, that those people will not be counted for the number of seats each state have that go in the House of Reps. So it was basically developed as a means of states enfranchising as many people as possible because they have more representation in Canberra.
Right.
However, how it's worked in practice, and this is why we talk a bit about unintended consequences of Constitution, is that it's actually been used to disqualify people from voting on the basis of race. And the last time we can find that happening, Graham, is in North Queensland in about 1965, during an election that people up that way came to the view that if all Aboriginal people voted for one person, we'd probably elect an Aboriginal person. So the state government fixed that problem by disqualifying Aboriginal people from voting in that particular election.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's been used against us, and indeed as it stands now, it could be used against any race in Australia. State government could prevent a state from doing that.
Okay, so it's important, obviously, to remove that opportunity from the Constitution.
And Graham, that's probably the part of our recommendations that that has the highest amount of support across. They see it as a outdated provision, and it has no place in Australia in the 21st century.
The panel also recommended that Section 51 XXVI, what's that doing my Roman numerals, 26. Be repealed. What does this section deal with?
It deals with the ability of the Commonwealth to make laws for particular races. And it doesn't, it's silent on whether the laws have to be beneficial or detrimental. And in 1998, around the Hindmarsh Island Bridge case, the High Court actually said it is silent, and therefore it's possible for laws to be made that can be to the detriment of particular races. Okay. So again, when you look at the history of this particular section, Barton, who was our first Prime Minister, and went on to become a foundation member of the High Court, basically said that the purpose of this section was to control the lesser or darker races in Australia. So it really had racist connotations right from the start. If you take those two sections together, if I can talk about that for a moment, Aboriginal people have said we want to be recognised, but we want it to be substantial. And the substantial part is, let's look at the part of the Constitution that's been used against us. And these are the two sections, Graham, Section 25 and Section 51, subsection 26. And when people say we've overreached our terms of reference here, we don't believe we have, because this is what we've been told by the majority of Aboriginal people. And when we raise the issue of the race's powers in the Constitution, the great majority of non-Aboriginal people also want that fixed.
But the important consideration here too, isn't it, or another important consideration, is that the panel's provided a new Section 51A. Does this section replace in a more positive way what 5126 now does?
Well, we came up with this idea of this is Section 51A would be what we're suggesting would become the place where the statement of recognition is put. So we would have a statement of recognition around the prior ownership, the heritage and culture, the languages, recognising the need to make laws for the advancement of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And then there's a new power that says basically the Commonwealth can make laws for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So it says uses the word advancement so that we can get into a space where there can't be any detrimental laws made for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So that Section 51 does two things. It gives this government what we call this new head of power to make laws for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but also contains a statement of recognition.
And those laws that the government could make, as you say, must be beneficial laws. They can't be detrimental.
They must be for the advancement.
Yes.
And therefore, you know, you'd imagine they couldn't be discriminatory.
Now, the panel made a couple of other recommendations. It also proposes the insertion of Section 116A to prohibit discrimination on the ground of race. Clearly, that's an important change as well.
Oh, and again, it's what we were told during our consultations. We put that out there in a discussion paper. Australia in 2012 is a different country to what it was in 1901 when the Constitution was adopted. And we're not looking at it as a backdoor Bill of Rights, because we're only going to race, colour, ethnic origin here. We're not going to gender or sexual preference or religion or anything like that, which what you would think a Bill of Rights would contain. It's basically around race, colour and ethnic origin. And so people told us that's what they wanted. I know it's causing a lot of commentary out there, but again, we were asked to report on what we were told by the Australian people, and this is another thing besides Section 25 that had the greatest level of support.
And finally, the panel also proposes a new Section 127A regarding recognition of languages. What would the effect of this section be?
This is what the constitutional experts call a declaratory provision. It doesn't do anything except make some declarations that English would be the language of Australia, but we'd also honour and preserve the language of about the 250 tribes of Australia. So it's just one getting a point across how important language is to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. But it doesn't really, it's not a head of power.
No, and it doesn't give the government more power. It sort of states the situation as it exists, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, we know practically that English is the language of Australia. This would just confirm it in the Constitution.
Yeah, sure. Mick, these changes are all really important to all Australians, not just to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, aren't they? Why is that, and what do we need to do now to maximise the chances of their support by the government, the parliament and the Australian people? Because, as you said, there has been some opposition commentary, as well as a lot of supportive commentary since the panel released its recommendations.
Well, if you go to the issues about removing the race powers in Section 25 and 5126, all Australians benefit from that, not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. The same with the new Section 116A that prevent discrimination on the grounds of race. All people in Australia benefit from that, not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. For us, the additional thing is the statement of recognition. Mm. And I think it's a chance for Australia to get to that, you know, there's unfinished business in this country about the place Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people occupy here. And you know, as I think your listeners would understand, everyone in Australia has an opinion on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues. Mm. I think this is a chance to say to the people of Australia, do we want to do this? And the thing about referendum is that it's a people of Australia speaking. It's not our representatives in Canberra or the people we elect. Mm. This is the people of Australia speaking. And I just think what a magnificent thing it would be for us, for Australia, if, you know, we wake up on the Sunday morning, finding out the night before we voted in big numbers to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the Constitution. Mm. Just the feeling, you know, I've said in other presentations, the feeling we all had in on National Apology Day would be multiplied by about 100, I reckon, and, mm. and we all felt pretty good that day. Mm. And I think it would be a maturing signal, the maturing of a nation willing to come to terms with its past. Mm. Where we go to from here, the government will consider the report, the opposition's considering it, the independents and the Greens will eventually, there'll be negotiations about a bill that will be put to Parliament, mm. Which will contain, like you said, the question that will be put to the Australian population. Once that bill gets royal assent, the referendum have got to be held between 2 and 6 months.
Right.
So once the negotiations start, which I expect should be starting fairly soon, that we will then get a bit of an inkling about the timing of this thing. Mm. You know, whether it's going to be in the life of this Parliament or somewhere down the track.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some really important changes. And Mick, if people want to get more information, the You Me Unity site, so that's You Me Unity, all one word, .org.au, is a really useful resource, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a website we use for the consultations, and it'll continue to be the website through this next phase of the process. So yeah, all the information's there. You can download the report itself. Mm. It's a fairly big report. Mm. But I think that's the best place to go. And look, Reconciliation Australia is an important part of the consultation process, and they'll continue to be the mob that will be advocating for change and pulling together a whole spectrum, a whole group of people from the spectrum of Australian society, mm. from all parts of the political area to you know, to civil society, to churches, to groups representing different ethnic groups in Australia, and I think that's where we'll end up very soon is this almost a movement of people across Australia advocating a yes vote when we get to the referendum.
Mm. Well, thanks for taking us through the issues, Mick. It's really useful to tease them out. This is an important issue, as I said, for all Australians, and it's great to have a chance to think the issues through and talk them through with you. So thanks for that.
Great to be here, Brian.
And thanks to all of you listening to Podrights. Remember that this podcast is for you. So if you have a suggestion of someone with whom I should talk or a comment on the podcast, please email me at podrights@humanrights.gov.au or find me and message me on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Graham Innes, GraeMeInnes, all one word. Also, if you want to become more active on human rights issues, have a look at tellmesomethingidontknow.gov.au, where you can read fascinating human rights facts and stories, participate in polls, add your own content, and find out what you can do to advance human rights issues in Australia. And keep your podcatchers ready for the next Podrights in the series, because human rights is for everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Graham Innes. Goodbye for now.